This is Radio Superior 1940, a reproduction of actual news events with authentic popular music. This is a true story of our past. Step back with us to another time. We bring you now to the KUWS radio studios at the Superior State Teachers College and the Martin and McKenna Show.
This is the voice from the head of the Great Lakes station, KUWS. It's Saturday night, September 14th, 1940. Jack McKenna saying hello, hello, hello. Lou Martin is standing by with the 6 o'clock news, including the world roundup from the European War and later a report by Edward R. Murrow from London. We've got the best music from the 1940 hit parade and even a few oldies for this Saturday night, friends. The 6 o'clock news is brought to you by the Palace Theater, where Boomtown is playing, starring Clark Gable, Spencer Tracy, and Claudette Colbert. Good evening, Lou.
Good evening, Jack and listeners. Our top story tonight: Congress approved the nation's first ever peacetime draft. This will require 16,500,000 men between the ages of 21 and 35 to register for the draft. Today's Senate vote was 47 to 25. President Roosevelt is expected to sign the bill next week. That'll send the first 75,000 draftees to training camp in November. The final version includes a provision that allows the president to take over industry on a rental basis if it's needed to fill defense orders. An invasion of England is expected in the next 48 hours, as Germany is offering surrender terms to the British. We begin our shortwave radio report with Max Jordan in Berlin.
This is the Third Reich, Max Jordan reporting. Nazis today sent a warning to Britain to either surrender or be destroyed. The Battle of Britain appears to be reaching a climax as the Luftwaffe rained more bombs on England, including on London itself. The German High Command reports heavy bombing on Britain is taking its toll. Nazi Deputy Rudolf Hess says, quoting now, "There are revealing signs of weakness, and things are moving rapidly toward a decision which Germany can make with complete calm," end quote. In 2 days, German bombers have dropped more than 2 million pounds of bombs on London and the heavily industrial area of the Thames. Hess says London must now choose between the fates of Paris or Warsaw. Quoting him again, "The German Air Force will ruthlessly continue its attacks. London's 5,000 dead thus far will not be the last," unquote. Hess blamed British Prime Minister Winston Churchill's lack of conscience for allowing the destruction to continue without capitulating. He says continuing a war they cannot win is murder. In Berlin, this is Max Jordan calling London. Come in, Britain.
London calling, Webb Miller reporting. German invaders continue to test the defenses of Britain's southeast coast as London undergoes its 8th consecutive night of destructive raid. British military sources here say the next 48 hours is a period of intense danger to the British Isles. In fact, many believe an invasion is imminent. Weather conditions off Dover, the nearest point to German-held France, are less than ideal for a cross-channel seaborne invasion. The British Army, Navy, and Royal Air Force stand ready to repel any landing. The people of London and Birmingham have suffered under history's most horrific aerial siege. The Postmaster General is asking people not to use telephones or telegraphs to ease pressure on those systems. It's past midnight here. The air raid alarms have people huddled in shelters and basements, mostly working adults, since most children and elderly citizens have evacuated to the country. Morning newspapers declare essential services still working, limping a little in places. 7 consecutive nights in shelters have failed to shake the morale of London. Even Buckingham Palace has not been spared in this onslaught. It too has felt the sting of bombs, with damage estimated at $120,000. Additional damage is reported near the BBC studios and at Trafalgar Square. In London, this is your reporter, Webb Miller.
Later in our program, we'll have a shortwave report from Edward R. Murrow of the Columbia Broadcasting System. The British liner, Camborodia, arrived in New York today with 630 Jewish refugees and 200 kilted Scottish children. They were sent to America seeking safety from bombs falling in England. The Jewish Aid Community of London paid for the fares of the refugees. The American Jewish Committee will find homes for all of them. KUWS Radio News Time is 6:07. Jack McKenna has these words from our sponsor.
Indeed, I do. And the Palace Theater has a movie for you you won't want to miss, folks. Buddies in Battle, Buddies in Battle, Rivals in Love. Whoa, Clark and Spencer Tracy against the world. Who are the stars? Well, besides those two great ones, is Claudette Colbert and the beautiful and curvaceous Hedy Lamarr. The name of this outstanding movie is Boomtown at the Palace Theater in downtown Superior.
Curvaceous Hedy Lamarr?
Yeah, I'd have to go along with curvaceous.
We might have to go and see it and do a little fact-finding. Democratic Vice President nominee Henry Wallace was in Duluth and Superior today. KUWS radio newsman Mike Simonson covered his appearance at the Androy Hotel.
All the Democratic bigwigs were on hand, Lou. Councilman John Green was especially visible since he's running for Congress as a Democrat against Progressive Party incumbent Barney Gehrman. Because of that, Superior Mayor Bryn Ospey wasn't on hand. Mayor Ospey is running for Congress as a Republican. Mr. Wallace was greeted by the Superior delegation at the Arrowhead Bridge and then driven to the site of the old steel plant, which President Roosevelt's father used to own. Not a lot of people remember that there was a Roosevelt money invested in Superior. Mr. Wallace says this presidential race is about Wall Street against Main Street. He says Wall Street is okay if it would only do its job properly. He blames the stock market crash and the decade-long depression on Wall Street's irresponsibility during the Roaring Twenties. As for the war in Europe, Mr. Wallace expects it will last another 2 or 3 years, Lou. It will mean a boom for shipbuilding and iron ore moving through the Duluth Superior Port.
Well, thanks, Mike. A record number of voters are expected to go to the polls in next Tuesday's Wisconsin primary election. Our Capitol reporter, John Powell, has that story.
A normal presidential primary in Wisconsin means 500,000 or so people would cast their votes, but party leaders here think the state of the world will bring more citizens to their polling places. 7 Republicans are vying to run against U.S. Senator Robert La Follette in November. 3 Democrats have been running, but a fourth, former ambassador to Belgium John Cudahy, has entered the race at the last minute. Mr. La Follette is unopposed in the Progressive Party. He's been a staunch supporter of FDR's New Deal, but opposes the president's foreign policy. He says this is the same path that led the country to war in 1917. The other big statewide race is Republican Governor Julius Hyles' run for a second term. 5 progressives and 4 Democrats, including former Governor Francis McGovern, are running in the primary. This is John Powell speaking from the state capitol.
A guest from Egypt spoke to the University of Wisconsin Alumni Club in Superior today, and we're honored to have him with us right now. Good evening, Dr. Salim Isband of Cairo.
Yes, good evening to you, sir. My journey to your beautiful city is one of most urgency. Indeed, the American people must know the grave circumstances facing Egypt and North Africa, and thus the world itself. It is not a sideshow, sir. No, sir, it is not. Let me assure you that fascist Italy's thrust against Egypt is vital to the outcome of the entire European war, sir. You see, my friend, if Egypt is lost, there will not be much British Empire left. And my beloved country will have to bow to the fascist ideology. It is a frightening time indeed.
But with Britain hanging on for its life, is there much it can do in North Africa?
Sadly, no. It is a dark time. The Royal Navy still dominates the Mediterranean, and she does have outposts in North Africa. But her attention, understandably, is on the ceaseless aerial campaign against her own people. But if Egypt falls, my friend, if she falls, then Britain loses its trade route through the Suez Canal. And that's not all, no, sir. Britain will also be shut off from the oil wells of Iraq to Palestine. And I believe if Egypt is taken, then Syria will fall next. Then who is to say Turkey can stand alone against Italy?
Isn't there a better chance for Egypt to gain its independence from Britain if Britain were to lose to Germany?
Oh, Mr. Martin, sir, Britain guarantees our independence. But if that Mussolini gang clutches at our nation's throat, We know that independence will be gone, sir. America must realize these things. She must help England and Egypt in our time of peril. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Dr. Salim Esbond of Cairo, Egypt, visiting Superior today.
You are much welcome. If I may, can I sit here and watch? This American radio is quite fascinating, sir.
Sure, be our guest.
See, Lou, we're fascinating.
If the excitement wears off, Dr. Esbond, we understand. The national defense situation is having a dramatic effect on enrollment this fall at Superior State Teachers College. The registrar, Thorpe Langley, says enrollment is at 750 students, down 12% from last fall. While many men are skipping college to work or to join the military, Mr. Langley says there's an increase in women this year. He says there's a growing demand for more nurses and stenographers. And finally, Jack and good listeners, the 42-year-old edition of the State College Annual, the Gichigumi, has been given to the college library. Paul Gallagher was rummaging through his basement and found the 1898 yearbook. Because Old Main burned in 1914, most of the historical periodicals were destroyed, so this is a great find. The book is thin, with fewer pictures. The art of published photography was poorly developed and expensive in 1898. The faculty at Superior State numbered just 17. Only mathematics professor C.W. Smith is on the staff today and was in 1898. Advertisers include S.W. Lightbody Dry Goods and Roth Brothers Beehive Bazaar.
Beehive Bazaar?
Yes. What is this Beehive Bazaar of which you speak?
I don't know. That's a honey of a question, though.
Oh, honey of a question. Yes, that is humorous, sir.
Don't encourage him. News jokes are awful.
The editors of the Gichigumi had their own little joke, too. They wrote, "To be sure that our efforts will be fully appreciated, we, the editors, dedicate this volume to ourselves."
I told you, Sally. News, humor. Jeez.
But it is comical, sir. Very comical.
Thank you, Dr. Esbond. And that, Jack, is the news.
Lou Martin, ladies and gents. The most amusing newsman in the room.
Jealous?
The forecast for this Saturday night, September the 14th, 1940, calls for partly clear skies tonight. A pleasant fall evening with a low of 51 degrees. Some sunshine tomorrow, but a little shower is expected, too. The high will be near 70. And now on with the music, friends. It's the best cure for newsman's humor. Here's Tommy Dorsey and his Clam Bake 7. This is the music goes round and around on the Martin and McKenna Show on station KUWS.
Here. Hey, Tom. Tommy, what's he got there?
Why, that's a clarinet, Edith.
What's he doing with it?
He's trying to show you how the music goes around and around.
Oh, he can't show me how the music goes around and around on a straight instrument.
Ouch. Kick it, Sid. Kick it.
Boy, he can kick it for my money.
And now we're going to put on a customer's chorus, and we want you all to join in lightly on this last refrain.
Oh, I blow through here, the music goes round and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Now you push the first valve down, the music goes down and around, whoa, 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 and it comes up here. Middle valve down. Hear the music go down and around. Below, below, below. Whoa, whoa, whoa. Listen to the jazz come out. Push that other valve down. All the music goes round and around. Whoa, 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 whoa. And it comes up here.
Hey, a fun time song from the 1937 hit parade, folks. That's Tommy Dorsey and the Clam Bake Seven with The Music Goes Round and Round on station KUWS. Since next Tuesday is the primary election, we have several paid announcements from local candidates. Reading those announcements is our sales manager, Toivo Hallergren. He's the fastest talking guy on the staff.
Okay, then, Mandy Blake. White Claw F. Cooper, Republican candidate for district attorney here, City Attorney Maynard Berglund, speak on his behalf Monday night on the radio. Re-elect Elmer C. Peterson, your progressive leader in the 2nd Assembly District. Elmer C. Peterson, experienced, reliable. Go with John G. Green, Democratic candidate for Congress. He's now turning back forward with Roosevelt. Stop, think, listen, actions must be stopped on our highways. Vote Peter Firestone, Pete Johnson, Republican candidate for sheriff. The president's situation in national affairs shows we need more women in politics. Vote Agnes Charbonneau for 2nd District. Action, not politics. Servers. Oh, not populism. City results, not premises. Vote Hilton Hecker, Republican candidate for sheriff. Oh boy, I tell you, that's it. I'm done.
Teufel, nice job, boy. Oh boy, I couldn't understand a thing you said. You'd be good auctioneer, you know that. Well, let's relax with some music to soothe the savage political soul, folks. Here's Hildegard, and I've got my love to keep me warm on the Martin and McKenna Show.
The snow is snowing, the wind is blowing, but I can weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm. I can't remember a worse December. Just watch those icicles fall. What do I care if icicles fall? I've got my love to keep me warm. Off with my overcoat and off with my glove. I need no overcoat, I'm burning with love. My heart's on fire, the flame grows higher, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? Oh, I've got my love to keep me warm. Thank you. overcoat. I'm just burning with love, oh, my heart's on fire. That flame grows higher, so I will weather the storm. What do I care how much it may storm? I've got my love to keep me warm.
Well, she does keep warm on those long, fancy gloves and the nice dress. That's the impressive voice of Hildegard. And I've got my love to keep me warm on Station KUWS. How are you doing, Sally?
Oh, thank you. Very fine, sir. That Toivol man, I enjoyed his ability to talk with haste. Very good, very skillful.
You thought that was fast. Well, hang on for Rapid Ray Paulson with the sporting news.
He's more rapid than Toivol? Goodness, I'm tingling.
Don't tingle. Hiya, Jake. Hiya, Salim. Fact is, Jake calls me Rapid Ray because I'm not. And I call him Jake. Well, because he's not.
How strangely interesting. May I ask why?
It's best not to, Dr. Usman.
Hey, fans of the sporting news. Those Superior Blues are showing new life in the Northern League playoffs behind the stellar pitching of Tony Bukovic. Our Blues whitewashed the Grand Forks Chiefs 5-0. Big hits by Tony Guzak, Bob Hauser, and Vern Blackwell led the attack. The hated Chiefs still lead the series 2-1, but fans are expected to turn out in big numbers tonight at Superior's Municipal Stadium. The Muni will be swinging. On the Major League circuit, the hated New York Yankees are on a 3-game slide. Whoopee! 3 games back of the first place Detroit Tigers. The Big Cat slashed the Yanks behind the pitching of Buck, call me Bobo, Newsom last night, stopping Joe DiMaggio at the plate all 4 times. That's impressive. The Green Bay Packers begin their defense of the National Professional Football League Championship tomorrow. They'll pit their famed aerial attack against a much-improved Philadelphia Eagles team. Coach Curly Lambeau is putting his Packers through long workouts, getting them ready for another grueling season. He'll alternate between Cecil Isbell, Arnie Herber, and Don Hutson on their passing game. And remember, fans, and Celine, everybody loves a good sport.
Well, now, that was not rapid, but it was so interesting. Descriptive, too. Aerial attack, call me Bobo. You Americans and your nicknames, very entertaining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, you've got it, Sally. Thanks, Ray. We're just minutes away from a special report by Edward R. Murrow from London. Until then, there's we three, my echo, my shadow, and me, with Bob Chester and his orchestra on the Martin and McKenna Show.
shines above. I walk with my shadow, I talk with my echo, but where is the one I love? We three will wait for you, even till eternity. My echo, my shadow.
For your enjoyment, the singing of Dolores O'Neill with the Bob Chester Orchestra and We Three on station KUWS. Lou Martin is in with some important news from England.
We'll be going live to London momentarily, where Edward R. Murrow is set to begin his broadcast for the Columbia Broadcasting System. A flash from our UP wire says a fifth air raid alarm since this morning is sounding in London. For more than a week, Londoners have been hit in consecutive nights by German bombers, while British bombers strike Berlin. This is considered the most intensive point of the Battle of Britain. The question is, will the RAF be able to hold out? Will Londoners continue to support the Churchill government? Will Hermann Göring's Luftwaffe be the first to blink? Stand by now for this report from London. It's after midnight there, and an air raid is in progress.
This is Trafalgar Square. The noise that you hear at the moment is the sound of the air raid siren. I'm standing here just on the steps of St. Martin's in the Field. A searchlight just burst into action off in the distance. One single beam sweeping the sky above me now. People are walking along quite quietly. We're just at the entrance of an air raid shelter here, and I must move this cable over just a bit so people can walk in. I can see just straight away in front of me Lord Nelson on top of that big column. There's another searchlight just square behind Nelson's statue. I'll just let you listen to the traffic and the sound of the siren for a moment. Just a few people here walking rather hurriedly toward the air raid shelters. Some of them casually. A man stops in front of me to light a cigarette. Here comes one of those big red buses around the corner. Double-deckers they are. Just a few lights on the top deck. In this blackness, it looks very much like a ship that's passing in the night, and you just see the portholes. There goes another bus. More searchlights come into action. You see them reach straight up into the sky, and occasionally they catch a cloud and seem to splash on the bottom of it. The little traffic lights here, just a small cross on the normal globe, are now red. The cars pull up and stop. I'll just ooze down in the darkness here along these steps and see if I can pick up the sound of people's feet as they walk along. It's one of the strangest sounds one can hear in London these days, or rather these dark nights. Just the sound of footsteps walking along the streets, like ghosts shod with steel shoes. A taxi draws up just in front and stops, just waiting for that red light to change to green while the sirens howl. There it goes, and the cars move off. More searchlights are in action. We've not yet seen any burst of anti-aircraft fire overhead. An air raid warden walks out of this shelter. The shelter here, you know, is the crypt underneath this famous old church just on the edge of Trafalgar Square. The crypt where in days of peace homeless men and women were able to find a night's lodging.
I'll never forget the people I met braving those angry skies. I remember well as the shadows fell, the light of hope in their eyes. And though I'm far away, I still can hear them say, thumbs up. For when the dawn comes up, there'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see. There'll be love and laughter and peace ever after. Tomorrow, when the world is free, the shepherd will tend his sheep. The valley will bloom again, and Jimmy will go to sleep in his own little room again. There'll be bluebirds over the white cliffs of Dover. Tomorrow, just you wait and see.
Fitting way to end this evening show, friends. That's English songstress Vera Lynn with her new number, The White Cliffs of Dover, released as Britain fights for its life. Our thoughts and prayers are with the British people this Saturday night, September 14th, 1940. For Lou Martin, then, this is Jack McKenna speaking. Good night.
You've been listening to Radio Superior 1940, an original weekly production by KUWS Radio and Wisconsin Public Radio. Radio Superior is produced and written by Mike Simonson. Performances by Duke Skorich, John Munsell, Don Hansen. All events reported on Radio Superior 1940 are actual accounts from the editions of the Superior Evening Telegram. Join us next week at this same time for more Radio Superior. This is your announcer, Dan Culhane, speaking. Good night.